For polluted cities, we know that they have more challenges to meet the pollution abatement targets, so their incentives to underreport the pollution levels are higher.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. In China, local officials have big incentives to achieve their economic targets, and that's supposed to be an incentive to perform well, but of course it might also mean an incentive to report fake numbers that make it seem they're doing better than they really are. Well, this is not a new problem for governments, and it's certainly not confined to China. And one way to solve it is for the central government to create unfixable ways to measure that economic data. A recent working paper has analysed the impact of doing exactly that for pollution monitoring in China's cities. Guo Jinghe of the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology was one of the researchers. Guo Jing, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Hello, Tim.
In China, what pollution targets do local officials have to report on?
There are different requirements regarding the polluting targets, which would depend on specific air pollutants as well as local socioeconomic conditions. But simply speaking, local governments are required to reduce air pollution concentrations by a pre-specified agenda. And each year, central government would evaluate local government's environmental performances. Historically, for example, the number of polluted days in a year as an important measure for political evaluation and promotion. And as a result, cities need to make sure this number does not exceed a certain threshold, for example, like 100 days per year.
How easy is it for an official to underreport the real level of pollution in a city?
This is a good question. So before the introduction of this automatic real-time monitoring, I would say underreporting was not very difficult. For example, local officials can just drop some observations that have very high levels of readings in a particular day to reduce the reported levels, right? Or not reporting data from certain areas and attribute that to, for example, malfunctions of monitoring equipments, right? In doing that, you can bring down the overall reported PM10 levels to the central government.
But if people are suspecting that there is widespread underreporting going on, why is it so difficult to find out if these local officials are cheating the figures?
There are at least two reasons I can think of. First, we know that air pollution levels fluctuate a lot. And sometimes the fluctuations can be very dramatic, even within a very short period of time. So it can be very costly for the central government to check those readings, especially retrospectively, and try to verify their reliability. The second reason is that if we do not have continuous monitoring and surveillance technology, then it's going to be a big challenge to attribute suspicious reporting entirely to local officials' hidden actions. For example, even if we do observe abnormal patterns, right? Local officials can always find excuses like, okay, this is equipment problems, or this is due to some technicians that fail to deliver their job properly as a way to kind of get rid of the potential penalties.
In the case you're studying, why did government introduce automatic monitoring for pollution levels?
Air pollution became a major concern of the Chinese population in about 2012 and 2013, during which several very severe smog episodes hit many Chinese cities. So since then, the central government of China launched a so-called war on pollution and initiated a series of interventions and regulations trying to control air pollution. So to do that, right, in order to properly evaluate the progress of pollution reduction, the central government needs to have accurate pollution information. That would be the motivation for introducing the system. To address this information asymmetry problem, or more specifically, the hidden action problem, there are usually two ways we can design complicated contracts to align the interest of the central government and local governments, right? In fact, many prominent economists in our profession work on those issues. The second option would be, okay, can we find a technology that can significantly reduce information asymmetry and improve monitoring? That is the Chinese government approach. So in the past few years, I think in the past 1 or 2 decades, the development of the Internet of Things make it possible for us to integrate all those monitors, equipments to the Internet. And it also allows us to kind of report data and analyze data in real time. So if you look at the current system, actually the development of big data analysis and machine learning techniques can basically help the central government to identify abnormal readings in real time, both in combined significantly limit local official scope of cheating.
You set out from your end to measure the impact of automatic monitoring using the Internet of Things, like you say, on reported pollution levels. How did you do this?
We have 2 empirical strategies in the paper. The first would be, okay, let's just compare the changes in pollution readings immediately before and after the introduction of automation, right? So we can do that in a regression discontinuity design and try to estimate how large is that jump or is that discontinuity. The second approach would be, okay, because the automated monitoring system was introduced into different cities, in different waves, we can also use a difference in different setting trying to estimate the impact of automation on reported pollution levels.
And to the best of your estimation, how big was this effect?
I think the impact is pretty large. So we find that on average, the concentration of PM10, which is very important, the air pollutant, increased by about 35 microgram per cubic meter. So based on our early study on the impacts of air pollution on life expectancy, this 35 microgram per cubic meter difference in PM10 levels implies a loss in life expectancy of about 2.2 years.
Wow.
For an average person. So we can also compare this number to some cities, right? So in the United States, for example, in 2019, last year, the annual PM10 concentration in Los Angeles, which is considered to be a polluted city in the US, is about 20 microgram per cubic meter. And that number for Boston, for example, is just 10 microgram per cubic meter. So that's the reason I think the 35 microgram per cubic meter is quite substantial and quite meaningful.
That is a very big number. But as you say, these pollution figures tend to bounce around all over the place. Can you be sure that your statistical analysis is not just capturing a short-term fluctuation in pollution levels?
Great question. In this study, we provided several sets of results to show that this change is not caused by short-term fluctuations in pollution. Let me just explain 2 sets of them. Okay, the first is that we also examined weather conditions, which are the most important determinants of short-term air pollution variations. So we didn't really find any of those weather conditions change around the automation dates. The second is that we can also have satellite-derived air pollution concentration measures, such as the AOD, aerosol optical depth. So we find that the actual air pollution levels observed from satellite didn't really change. So combined together, we can infer that this jump in reported PM10 levels is indeed capturing the previously underreported PM levels.
Did your analysis allow you to find out which type of local government was underreporting pollution levels by more?
Yes, we have some preliminary analysis on this issue. We find 2 factors are important. So in general, cities with higher levels of income are less likely to underreport, while cities with higher actual pollution levels are more likely to underreport. You can think this is largely consistent with our expectations in the sense that, well, in a city with high income levels, it usually have better governance, and people also have larger demand for transparent information. So the incentive to cheat are going to be limited. For polluted cities, we know that they have more challenges to meet the pollution abatement targets. So their incentives to underreport the pollution levels are higher.
One of the reasons to report levels of pollution is so that the citizens of these cities can protect themselves. Did automation of this reporting also change the behavior of the people who are living in the most polluted cities?
Yes, indeed. We also have a set of results trying to examine people's responses to this new monitoring technology and a new pollution information system. We find that the automatic monitoring makes people to search for information on face masks and air filters, which are important for individuals to protect themselves. So this suggests that pollution information is very important. But I think more importantly is that we see the behavioral responses are much larger in cities that could have underreported the pollution levels. So this result suggests biased information perhaps have prevented people from optimally protecting themselves against the pollution prior to the introduction of the new technology.
A lot of the time, even economists don't really think about where statistics come from and how they're compiled. Does your result imply that perhaps other Chinese economic statistics might be systematically misreported?
I'm not an expert on other economic statistics. But I think similar incentives should exist. If the government used high-powered incentives to asking local government to do certain things, it could be a double-edged sword, right? So on the one hand, they have local officials would have really strong incentive to perform better. But at the same time, if they find loopholes in the system, they're probably also going to have incentives to manipulate the data. But I think for other social domains and other dimensions, we need to have better research design, better research settings, and also better data to understand those issues.
Pollution, climate change is a global problem. Many other governments have similar targets and similar ways to report whether they're meeting their targets. Do you think your result implies that around the world, more governments should be using this automation, the Internet of Things, for reporting whether it's meeting its pollution targets?
Yes, if that is a possible technology and if it can be adopted, we should do that. So the reason is quite straightforward. Without credible and verifiable data, it's going to be very challenging to assess whether those targets, policy targets, environmental targets can be indeed achieved, right? So the advancement of information technology in the past decades and also the adoption of real-time monitoring and surveillance offer a possible tool to address this challenge. In our study, we believe this improvement in data quality is an important underlying factor to explain China's success in its recent war on pollution. Without such accurate data, it would be really hard to imagine how to make proper decisions on what levels of pollution reduction should be achieved and how do we assess different cities' environmental performance. So our study offers an example that the consequences of technology advancement for governance, and we believe this is going to be a rich area for future researchers.
Well, it's very important research, and it's also a very interesting demonstration about how economic theory accurately describes what happens in the real world. So, Guojin, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the invitation, and I really appreciate this opportunity to share our research findings.
The paper is called Can Technology Solve the Principal Agent Problem? Evidence from Chinese War on Air Pollution. And the authors are Michael Greenstone, Guojin He, Rishi Jia, and Tong Liu. It's NBER Working Paper 27502. This has been a Vox Dev Talk. If you enjoyed it, subscribe on your podcast platform. And we are delighted to see that so many of you are subscribing these days. Thank you very much. If you have missed an episode, you can find them all at voxdev.org.